You are listening to the Doug Hagman Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagman.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America and 9 a.m. here in the East. That's right. I'm back in studio. Glad to be with you. Welcome to Hagman. It's the Doug Hagman Investigative Hour for today. It's Tuesday, September 17th, 2017. Thanks for joining me. It's so great to be back, by the way. It was great to go. Great to meet everyone in Branson, Missouri. Great as well to talk with a couple of police officers in St. Louis, get their take on things that are happening there. And, of course, now back in studio where I am just energized, re-energized, just to bring you the best of the best news coverage possible, in-depth look at things taking place. Tomorrow's headlines today, as I delve deep into a number of important issues. What I want to talk about today, some of the things I'm going to be talking about during this broadcast, is the sustained attacks to take down President Donald Trump. Now, you might be sick and tired of hearing about this, but in and of itself, it is not about Donald Trump, the man. He is just a placeholder in the position of the presidency. It is much bigger. And it's about time people understand that taking down Donald Trump is taking down the American system, the representative republic. This is much bigger than any one person. This is much bigger than people understand. And I think it's important to really break down some of the components, because we are a part of those components. You see, many, in fact, anyone of any substance that is identified with the alternative media, all right, which is a distinction, by the way, I don't care for. I'm going to say the honest media. But anyone of any substance that has any kind of presence, substantial presence in the alternative media, is a target for takedown. They're going after Donald Trump, but ultimately they're going after our representative republic, our Constitution, and our way of life. Donald Trump stands in the way, but make no mistake about it, people like us, our organization, our media presence, not to overstate what we do. I don't want to do that. But I think it's important just to be honest and say, look, you know, they're coming after us as well. That's anyone with a presence. And I don't know how many people recall this. For the last year, On the Hagman Report, the regular program, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Global Star Radio Network, BTR, and YouTube Live, I've been saying, look, there is a war against the truth tellers. Steve Quayle and myself, there's a war against the truth tellers. We've said this over and over and over again. And there are people out there who are dedicated to take down those truth tellers. If you happen to be a conservative, you're a target. If you happen to be a Christian, you're a target. A Christian conservative, you are a big target. If you are a Christian conservative in the alternative or new honest media, you are a huge target. And trust me when I tell you that this is war at its worst or best. I don't know. It's war. I told you a year ago, at least, that there are people out there. You may think they're little old ladies with a quilting hobby, a gardening hobby, whatever. Little harmless old little ladies, you know. Oh, I just want to do what's right. Or perhaps pseudo-journalists. Oh, I want to preserve the integrity of the journalistic community, because fake news, it's a cancer, fake news. Yeah, well, that's true. Except your definition of fake news and our definition of fake news, starkly different. I want to make it clear. I did not draw first blood. I want to make it clear, Steve Quayle did not draw first blood. I want to make it clear that we together did not draw first blood. However, we are coming back, or we will fight with every breath that we have remaining. You might say, well, what are you talking about? Wait, huh? Well, what's going on? Look, it's really plain and simple. Let me back up to, a couple of years ago. And this backdrop is important for people to understand, because I'm fired up. And Sean Hannity yesterday on his radio program, he brought Bill O'Reilly on, and they were talking together about the sustained attack against the media, the conservative media, the attacks that took down Bill O'Reilly, the attack that took down Eric Bolling, whose son died within 24 hours. And I'm not, and look, I'm not equating the two, although I do, because I've got no evidence to support this, but I do believe that there is a connection. And I'm not going to get into how or why or whatever, even if it's tangentially just an emotional response of the embarrassment, supposed, that happened to his father, Eric Bolling, and Chase Bolling, who passed away. I don't know if, and I'm not even sure the cause of death, but it's not coincidental. And even the mysterious comment that Sean Hannity made, that Peter Barry Chowka had memorialized, could this be, or they're going for a kill shot, basically. Now, I'm not equating the two, and understand me when I'm saying this. I'm not equating the two, and our sympathies and prayers go out to the family of Chase Bolling, of course, and Eric Bolling and his wife. My goodness, what a terrible thing to lose a son, lose a family member. But the point I'm trying to make here is the stakes are much greater than people understand. And my time, by the way, I'll just add this, my time in Branson, Missouri, to see what I saw there behind the scenes and to talk with people that I talked with behind the scenes was absolutely incredible. And I'm going to be doing a program on this. I've got to be very careful with what I say, because number one, I'm not going to violate anyone's confidence. And number two, the information is so critical. It could be used, the information I've got could very well be used in future court filings, and which I believe to be the case. However, I'm going to play a couple of audio clips from Sean Hannity from yesterday's radio program, his program yesterday. Because for the last, I'm going to say the last 16 months, maybe, I have been saying that there are people out there, again, disguised or present themselves as little old ladies or little ladies that quilt and garden, and they're harmless as doves. They're just harmless. That's how they're presented. Oh, I'm just trying to seek the truth. Or author / journalist or whatever. I'm just trying to preserve the integrity of the media. No, you're not. No. Neither one are who they say they are. It's all a facade. And I'm going to stop there because, again, this could very well be used for future litigation and for a purpose. But I think what Sean, better than anyone else who said this, Sean Hannity talked about this. There are people out there, like I said, that type every word that we say, that record everything, every program of ours. There are people who will take that information and use that information in efforts to take us off the air. I have got absolute 100% confirmation in the form of notarized affidavits from people I've spoken to, I've interviewed, In fact, and I'll just leave it at that. That there have been attempts to take away our sponsors, the limited number we have, but very valuable. There have been, of course, and this is public information, that Steve Quayle and myself are the defendants in a multi-million-dollar defamation suit, lawsuit, which is, in my view, just absolutely ludicrous, without merit, and it's done to take us off the air. It's done to shut us up. It's done to distract us from the real issues and to punish us. Because you see, in America, anyone can sue anybody for anything. And it's not the conclusion of the suit that's the issue. It is the fact that you have got to spend money. And I'm not talking about pennies. I'm not talking about dollars. I'm talking about tens of thousands of dollars. You have got to put up to hire attorneys, plural, to defend against the meritless claims against you, against us. We've had to do that. Both Steve Quayle and myself, my good friend, my brother, who has done nothing, and we've done nothing wrong, you know, whatsoever. But it's being done against us to take us off the air and to distract us, to in an effort to take us down. And I've got, again, documentation, people going to our sponsors, harassing our sponsors. In fact, harassing our potential sponsors. The people you think are perhaps legitimate. You better know. I'll tell you what, folks. It is getting so that you better realize who you can trust and who you can't trust, because there is a war out there, and we are all combatants. Whether you like it or not, you're engaged. I'm engaged. But you see, that's we have stalkers, and Sean Hannity yesterday talked about this. I would classify these as vexatious litigants, stalkers. But in addition, they've got backing. This never happened until we started talking about the Clinton criminal cabal. It didn't happen until we started talking about Pedigate. It didn't happen until we started referencing things like Pizzagate. And then all of a sudden, the gates of hell opened, and we're getting slammed left and right. If you were at the Branson, Missouri conference, I want to say thank you for, number one, thank you for attending. Number two, you had no idea that, I will say this, there was a blanket of security over you that you never saw. Because when you gather together a group of 3,000 Christians, 3,000 conservative Christians in one place, you're a target. And my hat's off to Steve Quayle, the organizer of that conference, for making sure your safety was number one. And second of all, I want to apologize to the people there who I did not get a chance to meet or meet with for any length of time. Because with that security, we also had, there was security assigned to certain members, okay? Because there were absolute threats against us, and you just never can be careful. And if you were there, you saw the security detail. You saw the, I'm going to say, Secret Service-like security detail. And to me, that's a story in and of itself, because today, 2017, can you imagine then just the fact that we need security to gather together as Christians? What is going on where we need security? And what's going on in this country where we need security to be safe, to gather as a group of conservative Christians? What has happened to this country? It saddens me. It hurts me. I am absolutely my heart hurts. You know, I don't even know what more I can say. So I do want to apologize to the people I was not able to just to shake hands with or hug. Again, the security is real tight. I was just like Steve Quayle and his wife and myself and my wife. We were assigned a specific security people for us, and it was kind of dictated to us. They were very nice, but there were some certain things that I couldn't do. I couldn't go out into the main area, into the lobby of the mansion, without really making a disruption, because the security would have been there, and it just, you know, so I had to stay away from that. And but nonetheless, the people I did meet, God bless each and every one of you. And the people that I was able to shake hands or give a hug to, thank you. Thank you. Man, I enjoyed it. But again, what is going on with things that Christians and Christian conservatives need this kind of security? And the other thing, too, is, and back to the point I was trying to make, I'm starting to... kudos to Steve Quayle. Sometimes, you know, I feel like I'm linear most of the time, but sometimes the emotions just flow. And I'm speaking from the heart. I don't have any notes. I'm speaking from the heart, because sometimes when my emotions kind of really take over, it becomes non-linear. And I apologize for that. But hang in there, because I'm making a point. The takedown, the attempted takedown of the new media, the honest media, is in full force. And like I said, both Steve Quayle and myself are co-defendants in a multi-million dollar federal lawsuit that's been going on for now almost 2 years, to the extent where we have been wounded, bloodied, you know, with tens of thousands of dollars each, having to retain and then pay for, you know, teams of lawyers to defend against. And it's just, in my personal opinion, and that's public record. But in my personal opinion, this is nothing more than harassment. This is a campaign of destruction against the people, against the new media. And this is a message to those people who are out there in the alternative media. You take a look at InfoWars and look at what happened or what is happening with them, the attacks against them. You look at us, the attacks against us. When you've got to hire teams of lawyers, and when every spoken word, I guarantee you, I guarantee you, every word that I'm saying right now, even my stuttering utterances, whatever, is being transcribed by people who are backed by forces and money that are pretty formidable. For what purpose? To stop the truth from being told. And, you know, my emotions are right here. I'm being totally transparent and honest with you. It's difficult for me to talk about, because, you know, when you're facing that kind of threat, a legal threat, for example, do you know what that does to your family? Your wife, my wife, children, the business, the employees? Do you have any idea? Of course, it is, the effects are incredible. The strain, the stress is incredible. But see, that's what they want. Because if they can't hit you directly, they will go through the back door and get you. So if you are an independent broadcaster out there, understand this. It is the wild west of lawsuits out there. And trust me when I tell you, when you start hitting the truth and giving the truth to the American public, you will become a target, and you will become, I believe, the recipient of meritless suits, and one after another after another. And a campaign of harassment against you. But you know what we have to do? We have to, all of us have to stand tall. Stand and fight back. Again, I didn't draw first blood, because I don't consider reporting the truth drawing first blood. No, No, not at all. But I'll tell you this, I'm going to finish this fight one way or another until my last breath. I'm going to finish this fight despite the distractions or attempted distractions, despite all of that. But as I said, every word transcribed, recorded, sponsors harassed, supporters harassed. That's the new normal. And Donald Trump being, how does Donald Trump fit in all of this? Of course, they are attempting, they, meaning the progressive, hardcore communist machinery that includes the Republican establishment, members thereof. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, or if you say I say I'm a conservative, or I say I'm a Republican. It matters not what you say. It matters what you do and how you stand and how you work and how you, the topics you're willing to address, the actions you're willing to do, the things you're willing to engage in. For example, the wall, repealing Obamacare. You will know the hearts of men and the agendas of men and women by their actions, not by what they say, but by their actions. But this again is a warning to all broadcasters, all people who stand for the truth, all listeners and viewers of our program. You're targets. If you're a Christian conservative, you're a target. Let me play. I'll tell you what. Why don't you play from yesterday? I've got, I think, three clips, or two clips from Sean Hannity's program yesterday, I think are absolutely critical, and they paint the picture very well, better than I can. They may be reversed in terms of chronological time, but it doesn't matter. Go ahead and play clip one, and then I'll add some commentary thereafter.
You know, I've spent a lot of time on this program explaining to all of you exactly what the conditions are. If you're a conservative in the media today, frankly, if you even like Donald Trump, you don't have to agree with him on everything. If you like him, you're a target. And over the now, I've been on radio 30 years. I'm going to start my 23rd year on Fox. The conditions under which we work, if you're not part of the establishment media, are pretty severe. Now, the reason I tell you is because we're under fire all the time, and these different groups that are funded by multi-millionaires, they pay people to sit in their underwear in their basement all day. By the way, whoever you are a loser in places like New Mexico. And they tape and monitor every single word, every sentence, every second that we are on the air, in the hopes that a conservative will say one thing wrong, one phrase wrong, one sentence wrong. And the purpose is then we can attack their advertisers. And they celebrate when they can bring a campaign to bring people down. It's never been this bad. And it's getting worse every day. And the amount of money that is being invested is in the millions and millions of dollars. My fellow host over at the Fox News Channel, Bill O'Reilly, was the latest victim of this.
Now, that was from yesterday, Sean Hannity radio program from yesterday, September 18th, 2017. And I will add, not only New Mexico, but Mississippi, Michigan. How's that? You've got to understand, everyone, please, this is, this also goes to the censorship of articles, for example, the censorship of reports, investigative reports on the internet, the analytics that are presented to you, where, for example, our YouTube channel is being censored. And you saw what happened with InfoWars. This is all absolute 100% clear, and we are fighting in a different venue right now under different circumstances. But you see, again, this will happen to all of us. The reason I'm saying this, you might think this is not relevant to me. I don't have a radio show. I don't have a platform. Yes, you do. It's called your freedom to speak. It's called your First Amendment right. It's called whatever. It's the essence of you as an American or as a person living in a Western country, if you're listening to this, wherever it might be, if you have any semblance of freedom, they will attack you. If you speak out on the homosexual agenda, if you speak out on the pedophilia activities, if you speak out on against Hillary and Bill Clinton, if you attempt to do any of this with factual information, or, for example, if you talk about the murder, for example, of a high-ranking White House official back 20-plus years ago, 25 years ago, more than that, and you speak in terms that doesn't fit the narrative that they want you to adhere to, you'll be attacked. Or it's the same with any, it doesn't matter the subject, except to say it matters only if it's the truth. They don't want the truth to come out. And even the hubris of Hillary Clinton, you know, the cloth, the server, emails, they're all liars. Perpetual liars. But again, you attempt to expose this. This is what's happening. And again, you might ask why I'm spending so much time about this. Well, this is part of the takedown of the president and the presidency of the United States. And with that, this is part of the takedown of all of us as a country, as a representative republic, as a nation, as a Judeo-Christian nation. As a Christian nation. They're attacking your right and ability to speak as a conservative or to speak as a Christian. But I'm going to tell you right here and right now, we, the Hagman Report, the Doug Hagman Radio Show, the Hagman Group, we are fighting to the last breath, and we will fight you to the ends of the earth and back. We will fight you to the gates of hell in order to bring the truth out there. But again, this is to show you the level of desperation that these minions of communism, they're demonic in my view, in my personal opinion, demonic minions, foot soldiers of the socialist communist collective, who have sold their souls for a seat at the globalist table. That's who's behind this. And the foot soldiers are just mental midgets. They're morons, but they're being used for a purpose. And that purpose is to destroy the United States as we once knew it. The objective, don't think that this is about, this is not about you personally. Not about me, personally. It's about taking down everything. This is what's taking place right now. And please understand how severe, how serious, and how they have upped their game. I'm going to play one more clip. Go ahead and play segment number two. This, again, from yesterday. This goes into a little bit deeper detail. Sean Hannity does. Now, I don't know if he really wanted to do this, but nonetheless, this also exhibits what we are fighting. And by the way, the reference made to the stalker in this case has and stalks us, the Hagman Report, and me personally. So, Sean Hannity, Sean, you and I, okay? Both of us. And a number of others, including people like Laura Ingraham, Michelle Malkin. This person's gone after a number of the conservatives, a number of the conservative voices. It's absolutely incredible. Yet this stalker, in my view, this mental midget, in my view, my personal opinion. By the way, I still have that right to express my opinion. And it's sad that I have to qualify my statements. My attorney said, "Hey, that's all you got to do, and because you're allowed to have opinions still here in this country, to insulate yourself from further litigation." So, you know, but in my view, again, this, well, hey, it's against all conservatives, and it could happen to you. Go ahead, play clip two right now. Sean Hannity from yesterday, very interesting indeed.
I think what these groups very effectively do is they target and isolate in very Alinskyite fashion. And so they'll go after you, and they'll go after Dr. Laura, and they'll go after Glenn Beck, and they'll go after Don Imus, and they'll go after Rush Limbaugh. And then 2 days after you were fired, they went after me. And it was a woman that had stalked me for 14 years, smeared me, lied about me for all those years. And you can't do anything about it. And you can't even sue because the person has no money, nothing. There's nothing to win. And then everybody in the media picks up what a stalker says, and they run with it. And then you're playing defense, trying to defend your good name.
All right, and there it is. By the way, that sigh you heard, that was Bill O'Reilly when he was on again yesterday on Sean Hannity's program, being interviewed by Sean Hannity, and Sean talking about this position he's in. With some very serious allegations, spurious allegations, by the way, unfounded allegations, but nonetheless, the defense. Just to wrap this segment up, all right, this is all part of the destruction of our republic, the suppression of truth. This is not, again, this is not to nitpick or to complain and say, oh, woe is me or poor me. Although, yeah, I did, I guess, I probably said that, you know, woe is me. But this, it's much bigger than that. And that's what I really want everyone to understand. It's much larger than that. You know, I really had an education traveling through a number of states. And this is why I like to drive as opposed to fly. When I drove to Branson, Missouri, from northwest Pennsylvania, where I'm located, you could tell the areas. There are people out there who are sick and tired of the situation normal, all screwed up. You know that phrase, situation normal, the snafu? Except not screwed up, but you know what I'm talking about, right? They're tired of the same stuff, different day. They're tired of being constantly raped, figuratively, by the, quote, establishment. And I'm not talking about the leftist, RevCom, socialist, utopian dreamers. No, I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the true Christian conservatives, the people, as I pass through the Bible Belt, who are targets, and Obama making them targets, exploiting the Obama Justice Department, exploiting the division, and exacerbating the division within this country. You know, again, looking at this country, we have drifted so far from our Christian foundations, but that's not necessarily true in the flyover country, as they say. I'm talking along the way, and I love to talk to people. And the further into the heart of America you get, the different perspective you get. You know, all you hear in the media are the intellectual or pseudo-intellectual mouthpieces, absolute morons who live in the inner cities of New York and Los Angeles, San Francisco, the Pelosi worshipers, the Schumer worshipers, the de Blasio worshipers. It's not like that everywhere, but that's the perception. That's the perception that they, the progressive lefts, I call them progs, okay, P-R-O-G, if you ever see my Twitter feed, those people, they want you to believe that you're wrong, that your ideas are archaic, that you're a misogynist, you're a xenophobe, you're a racist for speaking the truth. This is what we're up against. And this was brought forth, really, facilitated, really, by Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoro, which is why, you know, did you ever wonder why he was selected for that office at that time? And the Bush family, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush being the at the epicenter at one time of the CIA, why they allowed this unvetted socialist Marxist Muslim into the Oval Office without a peep, without a word. Why did they allow that? Because it's the globalist agenda. It's across party lines. And along with that, along with the, and I'm telling you, Hillary Clinton is not in office by the grace of God. By God's, literally, God's graces did not allow Hillary to assume the office. But that's what they're trying to do even today. As we read, as we hear, that if Mueller's investigation finds any scintilla of evidence of Russian meddling, which is nothing but a conspiracy nonsense, BS, that she will contest the results of the election. And you see, the constitutional crisis that will ensue, or that she will attempt, don't think she's gone away. She hasn't gone away. Don't think Obama has gone away. He has not gone away. In fact, he delivered, of course, a speech to his Wall Street buddies for the tune of $400,000. But they are working in tandem, despite their personal differences. Despite the, and I'll tell you, there are, based on inside sources now, there are severe dislikes between Obama and Clinton. But they're still working in tandem to take down our constitutional republic, our country. And the, one of the tools, one of the mechanisms, is the independent counsel. And independent is laughable because he's neither independent. Well, he's not independent whatsoever. When you stack the deck with Hillary supporters, you've got 15 or 16 investigators, and over half, or at least half, more precisely, are either connected to or associated with or donating to funding for Hillary Clinton or the progressive causes. It's a stacked deck, which, and once more, the intent here is not to just necessarily only take down Donald Trump, but in so doing, take down our country, to cause a constitutional crisis. That's what's taking place right now as we speak, I can guarantee you. And as a sideshow, the riots, for example, in St. Louis, where now it's the number of people arrested are up to 125, the numbers are still rolling in. But these are the foot soldiers of the Alinskyites. In my conversation with one law enforcement officer who asked that I not use his name, and I respect that. And if people have a problem with that, well, hey, pound sand. Let me tell you something. When I spoke with this law enforcement officer in my attempt to get somebody to go on record, and I got to tell you, they're pretty busy. They had their hands full this weekend, the police officers of St. Louis. But when I spoke to this individual, and as a matter of fact, he listens to our program. He listens to this program, and he also listens to, of course, the Hagmann Report, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. But when I spoke to this individual, who happens to be I'll give the rank because I don't think it really matters, a sergeant in the St. Louis Police Department, He said, you know, people don't know what's really going on with the, number one, with the stand-down orders that are coming from the brass, from the mayor and above. And even today, under a Sessions Department of Justice, how they're walking on eggshells right now. I'm talking about sergeants and below, the patrol officers, the people, the police officers, men and women who are getting pelted with unknown substances and rocks and taking hits and not allowed to fight back. He said, this is something I've never seen before in my X number of years, and it's well into the double digits. I've never seen anything like this before. The breaking of windows, that was not just, regardless of what you hear in the media, it's not just breaking of the windows and vandalism. This was looting and unpermitted looting and you know, a war against the man, the establishment, the capitalists. This, and that's one thing, by the way, that's one thing that he did say. He said it's anti-capitalists who are doing this, that are funded. And you, it's going to be a while, perhaps, where we will find out who the money sources are with validation. The money interests are who are funding these foot soldiers. Now, to be clear, not all of them are being funded. Not all of them are getting money, getting checks. It's the organizers. It's the people who are sending these crazy, tattooed, it's the organizers who are sending the cannon fodder in, these mindless robots who will, you know, they're getting the money. So just understand, it's multi-leveled, and it's not, so you know, everyone throwing a rock in St. Louis, for example, or anyone, not everyone throwing a rock or rioting is, of course, benefiting financially. In fact, very few are. It's only the organizers primarily. So you'd be hard-pressed to grab somebody, pull them aside, if you even could do that and say, hey, you getting money for this? Are you getting paid for this? Of course not. I'm here because I'm here to fight for justice and equality. And you know, that's, of course, after years of indoctrination, years of this Obama agenda, this Alinsky playbook, this is what's taking place. Now, again, I apologize if this seems rather non-linear today, but my I'm just very, first of all, I'm just so glad to be back. I love to be in Branson. I'm glad to be back at the studio, and I've got so much more to say. I've got so much to say, and I've talked to a couple of my investigators out there. In fact, I established a meeting with an investigator in St. Louis yesterday. I don't know. I guess it was yesterday. Another investigative asset working for the Hagman Group, the Northeast Intelligence Network, also to infiltrate. In fact, we had set up the meeting. So the number of investigators that we are assembling are, and when I say investigators, I'm talking about accredited, licensed investigators. I'm not talking about just someone with, you know, who's jobless. No, I'm talking about people who are top of their field in the private investigative industry, who are willing to volunteer their time and efforts to go into and infiltrate these various subversive groups, whether it be Black Lives Matter, by any means necessary, Antifa. But it all leads up to the umbrella of these community organizing and action groups, that of which Obama heads many aspects of this, and it's funded by Soros in part and such. But there's a long way to go. By the way, I can say this. I could say this because I'll say that all of this is alleged. These are allegations without proof. But I'm going to tell you, we are working to establish the proof necessary to show the American people what's really happening out there, and to establish, to validate, to verify, to provide source 100% irrefutable proof, evidence that you know who's involved, and it. In my view right now, based on just the preliminary investigative findings, you do have a connection to Hillary Clinton. You do have a connection to Barack Obama, separately and together. You do have connections to some other organizations I'm not going to mention, and even some people on the West Coast in Hollywood. I'm not going to mention their names right now because, again, they would be just allegations. But to understand – oh, and by the way, another thing, the very capitalists, some big money interests, big money people. All right, I'm going to tell you right now. It would seem mentally screwed up. However, they're in it based on preliminary findings here, and I don't have the proof, but just from the information given to me, the people with money are actually backing the people to fight against the capitalistic system. So it's really almost seems like a convoluted thing here going on. And it is. But more on that later. But see, the goal here, the goal is to take down, again, President Donald Trump. That's the big goal. But, I mean, that's the initial goal. And then, of course, following that is the burning down of our representative republic. And when I say burning down, hey, St. Louis, yeah, in a sense, we're going to burn it down to the ground. Remember 68, 69, the riots back then, and you could see from, in fact, I should find some pictures because I remember Cleveland, half of Cleveland seemed to be burning in other locations across the United States. So they want to get back to that in addition to fighting at the higher level. And the news came out yesterday that the United States government wiretapped former Trump campaign chairman, and I'm talking about Paul Manafort, according to new revelations. Investigators wiretapped, United States investigators, federal investigators wiretapped. By the way, federal investigators under the command of Donald Trump and the Loretta Lynch Department of Justice, using FISA as a weaponized political tool, wiretapped former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort under the FISA court, under secret court orders before and after the election. This was reported on CNN. And you know what? I'll tell you what. With the knowledge that there were two different wiretaps, let me explain this first. There were two different wiretaps. There was one before, during, and after, immediately after the election, that was considered one wiretap. All right, one FISA approval. And then there was a secondary wiretap. Why were there two? Because the first one, they concluded, based on the investigative findings or lack thereof, there was no basis to continue. There was nothing there. There was no proof. Even after extensive, and I mean extensive wiretapping, they found nothing to associate Paul Manafort or Donald Trump with the Russians. It was a false story. This is so important to understand. So what did they do? Did they say, okay, well, guess what? Found nothing. And this is after, again, an extended period of FISA-authorized wiretapping. Donald Trump was right, by the way, in his Twitter remark. But they found nothing. So what did they do? They went back and got another FISA court order, despite finding nothing. And from that, they raided Paul Manafort's home. I mean, can you imagine? They raided Paul Manafort's home. They also went into a storage facility owned by a storage unit owned by Paul Manafort. They cut the lock, opened the door, and went through everything in that storage facility. You talk about a fishing expedition. So you've got this special counsel, Robert Mueller, his team, which is leading the investigation into this supposed Russia's involvement in the election. The team finds nothing. There's no evidence. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever. And if you understand the entirety of this, number one, they close the investigation for lack of evidence. Then afterwards, they opened it back. They reopened it. That's the issue here. They closed it for lack of evidence and reopened it just to attempt to get more and more and more. You have to ask why. Who pushed opening back up after he became involved with President Donald Trump? All of this is nothing more than a huge fishing expedition. And again, a lot of this was set up. If you look at Obama before he left the Oval Office, what he did to unmask, along with Susan Rice, and I'm going to throw Valerie Jarrett in there, and a number of others, what he did to unmask the allowances, in other words, widen the people who had the ability to unmask, the investigative results, and to spread that, to allow that to spread to the corporate media, the controlled media. This is nothing more than a coup by a former, I'm going to call him a president, but I don't believe that. I mean, obviously he occupied the Oval Office, but do I believe he's legitimate? No. We don't even know the guy's name. But here's what I'm going to do. One last audio clip. I think it's important to hear. It's painful to listen to, in my view. When I say painful, it's because it's by the corporate media. But here's what CNN played yesterday. Look, I want you to listen to this. Listen to how they describe this Paul Manafort revelation. This is broken on CNN yesterday. And then we're going to close this program out. But please pay very close attention to the wording and to how they present this evidence. Go ahead and play the CNN clip from yesterday.
Manafort under surveillance. CNN has learned that investigators wiretapped former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort under secret court order both before and after the 2016 election. And that surveillance continued into this year, including a period when Manafort wasn't working for the campaign, but was known to talk with President Donald Trump. Pamela Brown, Evan Perez, and Shimon Procupes broke this story, and they are out front tonight. So much to ask all of you as this breaks. So, Evan, let's just start off with the bottom line here. What are you learning tonight?
Well, Aaron, sources tell us that the FBI got permission from the secretive surveillance court to monitor Paul Manafort, the former Trump campaign chairman, before and after the election. Now, this is an extraordinary step for the FBI to do surveillance on a high-ranking campaign official. And, of course, Manafort is now at the center of the Russia meddling investigation. We're told that there are intercepted communications that raise concerns about whether Manafort was encouraging the Russians to help with the campaign. Now, other sources told us that this intelligence was not conclusive enough. Now, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team has been provided all of these communications, Aaron.
So, Evan, when you say encouraging, Manafort encouraging Russians to help with the campaign, obviously the weight of everything is on that word encouraging. What do you mean by it?
Right. There's a lot we don't know about exactly what was said. And by the way, this is beyond just wiretaps. It's also surveillance of all kinds, including searches that the FBI is authorized to do. But we're told that the FBI has communications between suspected Russian operatives relaying what they claimed were discussions with Manafort, as well as communications involving Manafort. None of this has amounted to what people consider a smoking gun in this investigation. There's still more work being done to determine whether there's a criminal violation here. We didn't get a comment from Paul Manafort's spokesman, but Manafort has previously denied that he ever knowingly communicated with Russian intelligence operatives during the election. He's also denied helping Russia undermine the U.S. interests, Aaron.
So, Pamela, you're reporting here that Paul Manafort has been monitored not once, but twice.
That's right, Aaron. So our team is told that the secret order began after Manafort became the subject of an FBI investigation in 2014. We previously reported that centered on work done by a group of Washington consulting firms for Ukraine's former ruling party, our sources say. And the surveillance was discontinued at some point last year for lack of evidence, according to one of the sources. And then the FBI restarted the surveillance after obtaining a new FISA warrant that extended at least into early this year. The sources say the second warrant was part of the FBI's efforts to investigate ties between Trump campaign associates and suspected Russian operatives. Now, it is unclear when that new warrant started. And as part of the FISA warrant, we've learned, Aaron, that earlier this year, the FBI conducted a search of a storage facility belonging to Paul Manafort. And as you'll recall, this past July, under Robert Mueller's direction, the FBI raided his home in Virginia.
You know, of course, we knew that, but as part of what you're breaking tonight, that raid of the storage facility, mm-hmm. obviously new information. We didn't know we had a storage facility until this hour, and we didn't know that they had raided it. So that's also very significant. Shimon, do you know, though, whether President Trump spoke to Manafort while he was under surveillance? That, of course, could be crucial here as well.
Yeah, exactly, Aaron. Extremely crucial. But what we do know and what we've been told by sources is that the president and Manafort were still talking earlier this year, well after the campaign. And it is a time that we've learned the FBI was listening to Manafort's phone calls. So it is possible that those phone conversations were collected during that surveillance as they were listening to them. So that we don't have a specific answer for, but it is possible, Aaron.
All right, which is a crucial point. And, of course, the president had said vocally again and again that he was wiretapped and that he meant that to mean not just phones but all kinds of surveillance. Was he right?
Well, not exactly. So we do know that, you know, and the Justice Department has spoken out about this, and they have denied that the president's own lines were wiretapped. But as we said, it is possible that he was picked up on Manafort surveillance. We should know that Manafort does have a residence in Trump Tower, but it is not clear if the FBI did surveillance on Manafort at Trump Tower. Aaron.
So Pam, what does this mean, all of this, for the Mueller investigation? As you and Evan point out, he now is in possession of whatever mm-hmm. came from this wiretap.
Right. He is in possession. It is in his hands. And the Paul Manafort investigation has been really the most visible investigation under Robert Mueller. The special counsel started in May. And there we know that there was a raid on his storage facility before Robert Mueller took over. But then you have that raid this past July. It's unclear if those stemmed from any of the intelligence that was gathered under the FISA warrant. But it is clear that investigators are still very interested in Paul Manafort under the direction of Robert Mueller, Aaron.
And Evan, a couple questions here. One, obviously, Manafort, for some time with all of this focus, I'm sure has been careful in what he says and how he communicates. But do you know if this surveillance is still ongoing in any way? And what is the significance that they were able to get this crucial FISA warrant to do it?
Well, we don't know exactly when the timeline of this surveillance, whether it has ended, whether it is continuing to this day. But look, the fact that they were able to get a FISA warrant is a big deal. The fact is, this has to get approval from the highest levels of the Justice Department and the FBI before agents can carry out this type of surveillance. It's considered so intrusive that you almost never find out that these FISA warrants are authorized, Aaron. And then the other thing is that you have to present proof or suspicions that someone is acting as an agent of a foreign power. All of this goes into providing the paperwork that these judges then have to approve before allowing the FBI to do this type of surveillance. It's very intrusive work.
Very intrusive work, and obviously very not easy to get, really hard to get, as you all point out. All right, thank you so much, Shimon, yeah. Evan, thanks. Pamela.
And that was from CNN about Paul Manafort. And notice at the end where they said this is very intrusive work, very hard to get. It's difficult to get a FISA warrant. Why do you think Bill Clinton in the 90s, one of his first acts as president, fired all of the U.S. attorneys? It's to stack the judiciary, the legal deck against his political opponents. And this was only further advanced by the actions of Obama during his last days in office he was provided with the tools to take down Donald Trump. Trust me when I tell you, wrapping or putting this all together, what you just heard about Paul Manafort with respect to the Mueller special or independent counsel investigation, the attacks against the alternative or the honest media, the Christian conservative media, all of this, they are working in tandem. You cannot look at any one specific element of this operation. You have to look at this as one contiguous crime scene. If you're an investigator out there, you've got perhaps you've got multiple crime scenes. You've got your primary, your secondary, and whatever. But if you just stick on one crime scene, one visible area, you're not going to see the bigger picture. I want everyone to see the bigger picture. The bigger picture is the takedown of our country, the takedown of every Christian conservative, of every conservative, political conservative, of our way of life, the changing of our way of life. And if we don't put a stop to it, they will be successful. If we don't put a stop to it, if we don't stand up and say, enough, we're not going to take this anymore. Folks, thanks for listening. Catch me tonight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Hagmann Report. Until then, God bless each and every one of you.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to The Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.